This past Tuesday, President Trump delivered his first State of the Union address. In this segment, we're going to focus on some of the elements regarding his address. One of the president's priorities is our nation's infrastructure. The claim is that it's an issue that receives bipartisan support. The question is whether the president's plans will receive that same level and direction of support. Joining us to discuss this is Competitive Enterprise Institute Senior Fellow Mark Scribner. Thanks for being here today, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
And the website for Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. And if I understand the president's proposal, he's sort of, I guess, carbon copying his strategy with tax reform. He laid out the goals, and it's going to be up to Congress to come up with the nuts and bolts of everything.
Right. One thing the president's plan leaves out is the source of the additional funding. And we don't have the details on exactly what the plan will contain, but a leaked document the other week broke down the $200 billion over 10 years into a few different categories. And what became clear is that the White House plan will require a lot of heavy lifting from states, localities, as well as the private sector. The president said $1.5 trillion in additional investment, and that's somehow supposed to leverage just the $200 billion of additional federal funding.
Yeah, the basic equation is every dollar, they're expecting every dollar of federal spending to equal $6.50 of local spending.
Correct, and it's unclear whether or not the states and local governments will be able to shoulder that. Even more, I think, interesting is how the private sector may respond to this, and a lot of it depends on states and local governments choosing particular options in order to do that. So I think fundamentally it's a very rosy scenario that the president has laid out, and it remains to be seen if it's actually going to come to fruition.
I'm thinking of states like here in New Jersey, for example, which obviously economically, budget-wise, were one of those states that could easily fall into the brink of bankruptcy. But the State Transportation Trust Fund is painfully underfunded, and to put any demand on that would simply break that bank.
Right, and I think, and you know, New Jersey is an interesting case because it's one of the few states that doesn't rely nearly as heavily on state gas tax receipts to fund their transportation systems because of all the tolling. So that's another thing. This program, whatever ultimately becomes of it, needs to recognize that the states can be very different from one another in terms of their needs, but also of how they raise the funds at the state and local level to pay for that infrastructure.
Although New Jersey might be a bellwether in an instance too, with one of the ideas in that plan that you mentioned, that it would allow states to toll their own interstate highway segments. That's been something talked about in New Jersey for quite some time, just hadn't been approached. But now, since last year, we saw a slight raise in the gas tax, and you know the panic didn't set in that it might be certainly now with the Democratic governor and Democratic legislature, putting tolls on Route 80, for example, would probably be a lot more of a go-to idea than anything else to do with the gas tax.
Yeah, I think so. And New Jersey drivers are well acquainted with tolls, and I think one thing that New Jersey should be looking at is modernizing its existing toll facilities to go to all electronic tolling rather than having toll plazas at all. But that's what I would expect to see. I would see more states would be looking at all electronic tolling because we have the technology that allows people to pay while still moving at highway speeds at 55, 60, 65 miles per hour without ever slowing down to pay the toll. So I think there's new technologies that states and locals may be incentivized to look at as well.
Mark Scribner, Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. President also pointed out the painfully long time it takes for any infrastructure project not to be complete, just to get off the ground with permits and variances and everything. Is that a step in the right? How much of a step in the right direction is that idea to cut that lag time down?
I do think that there needs to be a lot more permit streamlining. You do have situations where you have just a lot of redundant government agencies getting involved when you could have a lead agency that basically shepherds the project through to completion in consultation with other agencies, but not requiring these duplicative permits. But a challenge for the president is that Congress in recent years has already approved a number of permit streamlining provisions, especially back in the 2015 highway bill, and many of those have not yet been implemented by the federal government. So it's unclear what if the White House will move to speed the development and promulgation of those regulations, or if it's going to ask Congress for additional legislative reforms. But then, of course, if Congress changes the law again, it is going to take some time for federal agencies to implement those policies.
I should have hit this earlier, but nevertheless, as far as what we know at this point, when we infrastructure is kind of a general term, do we know if a priority is going to be road, rail, or bridge and tunnel?
Well, from what we've heard is that I think roads generally are going to dominate, but you have a number of funding programs under this proposal that I think expand eligibility overall. So you're talking about new types of project classes. They may bring make more of these programs eligible for airport projects, where airports are often left out of some of these the funding mix right now. So it'll be interesting to see what it actually breaks down to in terms of the specific project classes that are eligible. But I do think that the administration, along with Congress, is going to take a fairly broad view and definition of what infrastructure is.
And as I said in the introduction, too, as a superficial idea, this seems to have bipartisan support. Politically, where can the roadblock be created? Is it that 1 to 650 equation that I mentioned? Is it the hope that the private sector is going to come through and won't be faith in that on one side or the other?
Well, I think there's bipartisan consensus that we need to spend more on infrastructure and invest more in infrastructure, but how to do that is there is no consensus. Now, you see a pretty clear divide between Democrats and Republicans on how to go about that. Democrats generally favor traditional government grant funding to be financed by tax increases, whereas Republicans generally balk at tax increases and would prefer either spending cuts in other areas or for financing as opposed to funding, so going to the credit markets and going into debt to build some of these projects, particularly if the private sector does it, is something that is much more appealing in general to Republicans. So there, I think there's a big divide on what actually should be done in terms of the specific funding and financing vehicles, and that's, I think, where the trouble will be, those two very different worldviews coming out of the Democratic and Republican parties.
You can learn more about this issue at the website for the Comparative Enterprise Institute. That's CEI.org. He is a Comparative Enterprise Institute senior fellow, Mark Scribner. Mark, thanks for explaining at least what we know about this idea and policy so far, with more to come, obviously. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.